The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this August 7th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. We got a big show on tap for you today. Lots to get to from Auburn football practice this morning. A couple of great guests on the show today. Top 25s. All sorts of great stuff coming to you over the next 2 hours. Christian, how are you, sir? Happy Thursday. We're a week into August, my friend.
I was literally about to say the same thing. Yeah, happy Thursday. I remember sitting here talking about it, what felt like yesterday of, man, next week is August. And now all of a sudden,
dude, I feel like last week was the 4th of July.
Golly, I feel like last week we were in Atlanta for SEC Media Days.
Feels like last month we were at Plainsman Park watching a Super Regional against Coastal Carolina. Think about how long ago that was. That was 2 months ago.
And now we're 15 days from high school football.
Oh, geez. Woo. Excited but stressed. That's pretty much how I describe it every single day right now.
Very, very much so. And the heat?
Not bad.
We talked about this. Whoever turned on the AC outside, man, thank you. Just please don't make us regret it come middle to late August and then early September.
Yeah, that's all we ask for the high school football perspective. Well, lots to get to on the show today again. We're going to dive into that coaches poll for the top 25 because I have not had a chance to really dive into this on the air. I was gone on vacation Monday, Tuesday, and so it came out when I was gone. I know you guys had some conversations about it, but I want to look at that a little bit, plus talk about what the AP poll could look like and how quickly Auburn could be ranked or not be ranked throughout this season and kind of what that team and what really the season could look like across the board. Also, two wonderful guests on this Thursday afternoon, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will be joining us at 2:30. We'll get his thoughts on Auburn football fall practice so far. We'll get his thoughts on what he's seen, what he's heard, what their preparations are looking like as we're just a few weeks away from Auburn heading out to Waco. Also get to talk to him about a little basketball, right, with the schedule that dropped yesterday for the men and women's team. So we'll get to talk to Brad about that coming up at 2:30. And then a fun segment about the teams who have been bet on the most in college football, good and bad, right? Yes. Teams that have been bet on to go over their win total and to go under their win total. So we'll have a lot of fun with that at 3 o'clock. Also, Auburn baseball. Man, another busy week. I know you and Jack hit on this, but I want to talk about it a little bit. Some of the additions they have made. Butch Thompson in this Auburn baseball team, some big name big wigs around college baseball have been talking about it, but this is no longer a sleeping giant. This thing is roaring and ready to go. Then we'll talk to Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast coming up at 3:30. So around our two guests, the phone lines are open. If you'd like to be a part of the show, we would love for you to come on in and be on the line. 334-321-1390. That call-in number, 334-321-1390, or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067.
And we'll kind of do this first segment, again, talking about the coaches poll, the preseason top 25. I'll go ahead and kind of service everything the way that I did with Jack and with Lance. I'll ask you the question so that way you're able to kind of talk about everything. And again, we won't spend as much time, again, giving you number 25 is this team, but it'll be much more of the looking at everything as a whole, again, as there are 9 SEC teams in this top 25, 6 Big Ten teams, and it just continues to work its way. And so, again, 25 through 21 rather quickly, Boise State, Texas Tech, BYU, Iowa State, and Texas A&M. 20 is Kansas State. 19 is Indiana. Tennessee and Florida at 18 and 17. SMU as the 16th ranked team in the country. According to the coaches poll preseason top 25, it's the way that I've done it, but the top 10, or those first 10 rather, is there a team that stands out, whether in a good way or in a bad way?
I mean, overall, it looks like what it's supposed to, right? I mean, in terms of just the teams that are there, you could argue about where people are and where they should be higher or lower or things like that. But overall, just this coaches poll for the top 25 to get things started. I mean, no surprise with it being Texas and Ohio State and Penn State and Georgia, those teams that are up there, right? I mean, I'm still not sold on Alabama. I think I've talked about that quite a bit, that with the quarterback, not problems, but question marks that they have, I'm not sold on them just yet. Some of these other teams in there, I think Clemson could be higher by the end of it.
Georgia, you're working your way from the top down. Okay, never mind then. I was going from 25 other way. I was talking about the first 10.
Oh, my bad. My bad. Okay, you're talking. Okay, that's on me. 25 through 15 then?
Through 16. The first two rows, if we're looking at the graphic.
Texas A&M for me. Texas A&M's kind of out there. I think every year I've done this show on the radio, I have said this exact statement about Texas A&M. I have no idea what they're going to be. They have a chance to be really good. Talent-wise, they're incredible. I don't know. I mean, is Mike Elko going to get this team ready to go early this year, unlike last year? Or will Marcel Reed be what we think he's going to be? Or will Texas A&M be what they always are, which is an 8-4 football team? BYU could be exciting, and especially in that Big 12 conference. I mean, look at that. Texas Tech, BYU, Iowa State, Kansas State. I mean, those are a lot of teams out west that are going to be in that conference, or Midwest, however you want to say it, that are going to be competing for that. Tennessee, I don't know. I mean, Tennessee is kind of a wild card for me. Florida, I think they're high to start just because of DJ Lagway. And Ole Miss, kind of high, 15, but I don't know. Maybe without Jackson Dart, right? I mean, what are you expecting from that Ole Miss squad? Indiana seems about right for me. They bring a bunch of dudes back from a college football playoff team last year. Yeah. Boise State, whatever. I mean, that's fine with me. So, overall, there's some questionable ones in there, but nothing to lose your mind over, I don't think.
Yeah, it's kind of the way that we took everything. Again, we mentioned Boise State and Texas Tech, kind of the, now that you don't have Ashton Jeanty, is that more of a, okay, well, look what they did last year. This needs to be a logo that's in the top 25, at least to start. Texas Tech, you feel like could be there 2 or 3 years from now confidently, but you feel like right now they're still very much trying to build and buy their roster, very much so right now. But again, other than that, we mentioned Tennessee and Florida. Jack was higher on Tennessee than me and Lance were.
Okay.
Just from the standpoint of Nico Iamaleava no longer with the squad, but Jack was high on Joey Aguilar and talked about that, hey, it's still a majority of the roster that made it to the college football playoff this time last year, when they got the season started this time last year. Florida was one of the big teams that we expected to drop, and I know that this is a question that we'll answer here a little bit later on in this segment, but a team that won't pan out, not from a talent perspective, because, yeah, you look at Florida right now, and, okay, you're the 17th ranked team in the country. You feel like it makes a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily Florida from the conversation of, well, that would be the easiest one to say is not going to be in the top 25, because if you're 7-5, 8-4, although you might not be ranked, it's a pretty dang good year for the Florida Gators.
Right.
But you feel like that genuinely happens with a team that doesn't pan out talent level-wise.
Texas Tech is fascinating. You were talking about them just a second ago. I've started to see a lot of people jump on the train that Texas Tech is that sleeping giant in college football. I've seen a lot of people talk about that, on how they're just going to all of a sudden turn it around in recruiting and facilities and on-field performance. And I don't know, man. I just Maybe. I mean, the money's there. We know it's the state of Texas. Any team that's there, they're going to have money and stupid money for no other reason than because.
Well, Mahomes plays a big factor in that.
Oh,
as well.
No doubt. I mean, there's serious alumni from there, and we know that. But I don't know, man. The Big 12 is just so cluttered right now that it's going to be really hard for any team to distance themselves from everyone else in that pack, if that makes sense.
They have a quarterback, again, Baron Morton, who is a senior. So, again, he's been somebody that's been with the team for quite some time. The 6'2", 210-pound senior, trying to pull up his total stats from last year just to see if that – you feel like a big confidence point this year, and it works its way all the time. But, man, returning quarterbacks, you feel like bring a whole lot of confidence. Last year, threw for 27 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions, threw for 3,300 yards and a 63% completion clip. So, again, I mean, if that's the confidence that you're working off of, hoping there's going to be that year 3 to year 4, I can see it. I just still feel like they could be 2 or 3 years in the making.
Well, I think that's where I've seen a lot of people talking about the Red Raiders is down the road. Maybe not necessarily in 2025. Man, listen to this schedule really quick. They have Oregon State. Okay, they have Oregon State game 3. They have to go back-to-back on the road to Utah and Houston. That's not easy. They host Kansas. They got to go to Arizona State, hosting Oklahoma State. Then they go to Manhattan to take on Kansas State, home for BYU, home for UCF, and they end the season on the road at West Virginia. Talking about Texas Tech here. Road games at Utah, Houston, Arizona State, Kansas State, and West Virginia. That's no joke, man, in the Big 12. Plus, you're hosting Kansas, Oklahoma State, who I don't think will be anything, BYU, and UCF. Like, we've talked about the Big 12 and the fact that it's going to be just an absolute disaster in that conference, good or bad. And so I don't know what to think about a lot of those teams inside the 25 to 15 range, but then you get above that and it really starts to get interesting.
Yeah, you work your way. Ole Miss at 15, which you mentioned, Michigan at 14, South Carolina at 13, Illinois at 12, Arizona State at 11. Man, those are all 4, if 5 teams with Ole Miss that have so many question marks as you work your way into this season. You feel like South Carolina, Illinois and Arizona State, at least from the standpoint of quarterbacks, feel relatively comfortable. With Leavitt at Arizona State, you have Altmaier at Illinois, and you have Lenore Sellers at South Carolina. Michigan, you think, is going Bryce Underwood, and then Austin Simmons with Ole Miss. But, man, Michigan is that team for me. If there's one that's in this top 25 that's not going to pan out, and we talked about this on Tuesday, but looking at their football schedule, I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Again, I think we learn a whole lot about Michigan, and I think we learn even more about Oklahoma in week 2, that matchup in Norman. But I think Oklahoma takes that matchup. You go to 1-1, you go to 2-1 with a win over Central Michigan. I think you fall to Nebraska, and you fall
very
to 2-2.
Well,
I think you beat Wisconsin. You go to 3-2.
That's in the Big House, though, so you probably should. And I think Michigan's a more talented football team.
Yes, yeah. So you go to 3-2. I think you fall to USC. I think you go to 3-3.
Wow.
I think it's a toss-up game with Michigan and Washington. I wouldn't be surprised.
Washington's a good football team, man.
You're dang right. I had them falling to Washington, going to 3-4. You get 3 straight wins with Michigan State, Purdue, and Northwestern. I think Maryland could be a sneaky game, and I think you fall to Ohio State.
Gosh.
If that's 7 wins, if that's 6-6, you're not a top 25 team. That's my team that I expect.
Yeah.
At least not from the talent standpoint, but from a legitimate not panning out standpoint. Again,
that's
week 2,
pick.
A true freshman walking into Norman. If Bryce Underwood is the one that gets that start, that's my team right there. Also a little bit comical that South Carolina and Illinois are, of course, at 12-13 because of how that bowl game and all the drama went down. Then you make your way into the top 10. And it's something, again, we've talked about, and you feel like the logos in the top 10 could be thrown around anywhere, and it makes any sort of conversation points. But, again, the biggest conversation is half of these teams have a really solid quarterback that they believe in. 2 or 3 of them have ones that we think are going to be good or should pan out. Then there's a couple that, man, you hope that everything works out for them.
Yeah, and I want to go back really quickly to a team in that middle tier, that 15 to 10 range. You were talking about Michigan as the team that will underperform for you. I've been on this for so long, all summer really, and talking with a lot of my Big Ten buddies. everybody seems to just be all in on this team in particular, who brings back the most returning starting production from a year ago in the Big Ten. A team that you mentioned his quarterback just a little bit ago, who is uber talented, and I think Brett Bielema is a really good coach up there. I'm not sold on Illinois being a 10-win team again. I'm just not. And people forget that they're a 10-win team from a year ago. And again, they return more starting production year over year than any other team in the Big Ten Conference.
Just looking at the schedule, though, you play devil's advocate just a little bit, because all you see on there is Indiana, USC, and Ohio State. And then if you want to, Washington.
I think Duke is sneaky good, too. I think Duke is the third or fourth best team in the ACC, and you have to go there week two. Now, it is an 11 a.m. kick, so Illinois dodged a bullet there, and I'm not saying that playing football games at Duke is the hardest thing in the world, but I do think Duke is a talented team. I think having to go on the road to Indiana to open up Big Ten plays, no joke. You do have to play USC, who's talented. You do have to play Ohio State, who's way more talented than you. On the road at Washington could be a game that determines Illinois' season before you have to play at Wisconsin in the second to last week of the year. I'm with you. The schedule's not all that bad for Illinois. I'm still just the step back, inevitable step back for Illinois is there for me. And I'm not sold. Most people are. I'm going against the public. I'm fading here. I'm taking Illinois to be my disappointment.
Was their win total 9.5, or was it more like
I think it's 8.5.
I was going to say, that makes a little bit more sense. Because if you split this into three, you go 2-1 with Western Illinois. Even if you throw the Duke game in there as a loss, you beat Western Michigan, you're 2-1. You split those middle four of Indiana, USC, you'll beat Purdue, and then Ohio State, even Washington in there as well. Even if you went 2-3, you're then 4-3, and you feel like you have a pretty good shot at winning those last four games. So that puts you right in that middle category of right at their win total. But I agree. I'm right there with you of the inevitable step back, especially now with walking into the preseason and walking into the season with the hype that's there, rather than it being the, let's see if they can do anything. You feel like they have to have some sort of negative backlash.
Yeah, according to the unnamed sportsbook, 8.5 is their win total for Illinois this year. And then, you look at the top 10 before we get to break, and then we're going to talk some news from Auburn's football practice today, some of the highlights and videos and things that have come out from practice from earlier this morning. Yeah, I mean, top 10, that's about what it should be. Miami, I'm not sold until I see it. We talked about this. Somebody put this stat out there on social media, the fact that if you have not looked at Miami's football schedule, just do it. Just go do yourself a favor and tell me what you see. Look into it just a little bit. Just take about 30 seconds and really digest what you find on that Miami football schedule. Because I'll admit, I hadn't done it.
That's today's on-the-line trivia question. We'll answer that when we come back.
Yeah, just tell me what you see. Tell me what you see, right?
Or
kinda like
you
the Lion
don't
King.
See.
Just stick your hands out there and just kind of look through the, you know, and what you see or don't see on that Miami football schedule. And you may have already seen it on social media. It's wild. But look, Oregon has a new quarterback. I'm not sold on Dante Moore until I see it. I think that running back out there is really solid. But I'm not sold on Dante Moore. I'm not sold on Alabama's quarterback problems. Garrett Nussmeier, I don't know. He's supposed to be good, obviously, and coming back for another year to try and win a national title, but I'm not sure. Clemson's going to be good. Notre Dame, couldn't tell you. Georgia, quarterback issues, right? Gunnar Stockton, still not sold on him just yet. And then, of course, Penn State, Ohio State, and Texas.
Lance brought up a really, really good point as we get to break here, talking about Georgia. And he had a little fun and said he halfway believes it, but he had a microphone in front of his face. And so he was going to just full on go with the entire belief. He said that Georgia is his team that will either barely be ranked or will not be ranked at the end of the season. He said he could see Georgia being an 8-4 team and not be ranked. And I think 8-4, even with Georgia, would still put you in the top 25. But he talked a lot about, man, yes, you have new offensive weapons like Zachariah Branch, and you bring in a couple other guys in there as well. But look at what Notre Dame did to Gunnar Stockton and how it just kind of felt like, well, he didn't have that much to work with. Now, granted, he only had a week or two to totally prepare, but you're still in the practice field every single day. And so that was his basis of, man, if I'm going to say a crazy one, Georgia is my team that makes it out. I said Michigan. Did you have a team in there, at least off the bat, that's
Illinois.
Not going to pan out? Illinois.
Yeah. That's my team. Could they be ranked somewhere around the top 25? Yes, they could, but I don't see them being top 15, top 20 by the end of the season. Problem with Georgia, I know we're behind, but they only take three road trips all year. And one of those is to Starkville.
And
so,
weirdly enough, again, Georgia's kind of in that one, that weird little boat that I've talked about of two or three teams of the coaching staff can get you over any sort of quarterback or overall team troubles.
No doubt about it. All right, we got to get to break. We've set it for 5 minutes. We will talk practice when we come back for Auburn football. That'll lead us into our conversation with Brad Law, who is also going to talk a little Auburn ball with us as well. That's all coming up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. A reminder, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network going to join us in about 10 minutes from now after our bottom of the hour break. We'll get some of his thoughts on overall practice things, right? Some things that being a part of the media and stuff we aren't allowed to talk about, but we'll get just overall thoughts and position battles and kind of some of those unknown commodities, if you will, some guys that are making a name for themselves over at the football facility. And we'll also talk about the SEC basketball schedules that have been released across the board for SEC basketball teams. But today's practice, I think, was much better, Christian, than what we saw and heard from yesterday from Hugh Freeze. And he did not have media availability today, but there was a viewing window of practice. And, man, the thing we continue to hear and see, especially from today, are the one-on-one drills that we're seeing, especially receiver to secondary.
Before that, the on-the-line trivia question.
Oh, yes. Yes. Did anybody go and actually look at Miami, the Hurricanes football schedule for this upcoming season in the year of our Lord 2025? If you did and you looked at it for 30 seconds, that's all you need, you will see that Mario Cristobal, Carson Beck, and the Miami Hurricanes do not leave the state of Florida until the 1st of November. That's right. You heard that right. I'm not joking. I saw it on X yesterday. I said, what? No, that's not true. Yep.
Six home games help. But then you go to Florida State as well.
Yeah. Six home games. That includes a trip to Florida State. Yeah. Yeah.
Then you go right back for two more weeks.
Yeah. You take a tough trip to SMU. Tough trip it is. Miami to Texas is not a hard flight. Games. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Genius on their side of things.
However the heck. And you know what? They'll still only win 9 games and still won't make it to the college football playoffs. So take that, Miami.
Boom.
There you go. Anyway.
But yes, the one-on-one drills, the receivers versus the cornerbacks. Man, we talked a lot about it on Monday of the offensive linemen going up against the defensive linemen and how you felt like the defensive line were winning a lot of those reps. You now go and see a bunch of the videos of these receivers and the corners and the DBs, and Jackson Arnold talked a lot about it on Saturday, this past Saturday morning after the practice, and talked about how, man, the iron sharpening iron, and how, man, our receivers are the best, and you're going up against the best. And, man, seeing some of these videos, you've seen a whole lot on the DB side of things of, man, making great plays on really, really good thrown balls. It's not just the underthrown balls where you just magically find the ball in the basket of your arms, but going up, getting swats, getting past deflections, and now you're seeing the receivers kind of clap back. And Cam Coleman, if you haven't seen the video, man, in the back corner of the end zone, everybody loves the Auburn fade route, right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that time. And when you have a receiver like that, it should work more times than not. It was Cam Coleman versus Kane Lee. It was best on best. And, I mean, it was absolutely incredible defensive coverage. We joked about it. And on 98 of the 100 receivers, or everybody but two receivers in the entire country, it's perfect defense. Mm-hmm. Cam Coleman and Jeremiah Smith. You feel like those are the only two that can go up and make some sort of grab like that. And, well, when they both stood up, Kane Lee smacked Cam Coleman on the butt and just said, Good rep.
Because there was nothing else you could do. And it's an unbelievable video. There's actually now a photo back angle, or I guess technically front angle, from the field side, or the sideline rather. And man, when you watch the video, everybody's literally just questioning, like, man, how in the world did Cam Coleman make this grab? How in the absolute world did Cam Coleman get this football? It felt like there was no way for a window to appear for it to get through the arms of Kayan Lee and into the hands of Cam Coleman. And you see that front angle photo, and it's like, my God, there was literally the tiniest of window. Great throw, even better catch. And I'll say this, I love Kayan Lee. That he is a ball hawk, man. He is going to be dominant as a corner this year for Auburn. But, yeah, that's one of those situations where there ain't nothing you can do, man.
Again, it's the classic, for those that have seen it, it's Kobe guarding Steph. And Steph hits him with the shimmy, the couple step backs, and drills the three. And all of a sudden, Kobe, you know, as soon as you cross half court, just a little smack on the butt. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's absolutely nothing I can do. But some of the other videos, I mean, there's Rayon Strader, who is one of the best things on the goal line is to get up in the receiver's space, right? And that's what Strader prides himself on. And you see him winning a lot of the one-on-one reps, won a couple of them on Cam Coleman, also on a couple of the other receivers. And, man, you're just seeing so much talent from the outside pieces, both on the receiver side and on the DB side. I mean, you're looking at it right now. Eric Singleton and Cam Coleman were announced to the Biletnikoff preseason watch list. And, I mean, you're just seeing so much talent. Again, these videos are absolutely so fun to watch.
Yeah, they are, man. I mean, have you heard me say this before, that talent is not an issue for this Auburn team? Have I said that before on this radio station?
I think we saved it for today.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, talent is not an issue on this Auburn football team on either side of the ball, okay? And nobody knows that better than Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. This guy is going to join us next. We'll talk about Auburn football, talk about practice superlatives and narratives and storylines, and a little Auburn basketball as well, and maybe compare to some of the other SEC schedules that have dropped on the hardwood. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joins us next.
Minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, and we welcome in our Thursday 2:30 guest. This guy's with us all season long through football, basketball, baseball. You can also hear him all season long for football, basketball, and baseball on the Auburn Sports Network. He is Brad Law, who joins us on the phone lines now. Brad, hope you're doing well. The weather is nice, and we're a day closer to the start of Auburn football.
How in the world is it already Thursday at 2:30 in the afternoon? Good grief, time is flying by here. And I guess, guys, we're going to have to figure something out for 3 weeks from today, because we're going to be en route, I guess, either to Waco or to the airport or something. So, yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll talk off air. We can get something on that Wednesday afternoon or Thursday morning, or try to get something, because the people need their fix of Brad Law. We can't just take the week off. It doesn't work that like that.
Well, if we don't, then I guess this show would be lawless, and we don't want to promote lawlessness.
Oh, I'm really mad I'm mad that that made me laugh. I'm not
proud
of that.
Not the first time that's been used, is it?
I'm ashamed of myself.
That's okay. That's all right. Well, trying to get past that. There is a lot to go over and discuss, and there's so much buzz and energy right now. Yes, because we're getting closer to the start of Auburn football on August 29th against Baylor, but it's because practice has been awesome. You've been there just as much as we have, and there's a bunch of social media stuff going around the last several days about just the talent that is on this team. I mean, is there any particular player or position group since the last time we've talked that has stood out to you for this Auburn squad?
You know, I'll tell you, as high as we were on the receiving core going into the year, I think we're maybe even higher on it than we thought we could be. With the emergence of Perry Thompson and with Coach Freeze yesterday talking about breakout player, like players taking a huge step up from their freshman to sophomore year, and him mentioning both Malcolm and Perry. We know how good Malcolm was last year. I think back to Keldrick Falk and the leap that he took between his freshman and sophomore seasons. I mean, he was, you know, he was explosive as a freshman, and he was good. He just didn't get the opportunities. And in one offseason, he went from really explosive, you know he's going to be special, to Auburn's taking him to media days, and he had just a breakout sophomore season. If some of these, if Perry and Malcolm, namely, and then if you look defensively, guys like, you know, DeMarcus Riddick and Malik Blockton and Jay Crawford and Caleb Harris, if half of those half a dozen guys we just mentioned take a Keldrick Falk-like jump from their freshman to sophomore years, all of a sudden we're not talking about Auburn making a bowl game. We're talking about Auburn playing even more meaningful games at the end of the year. So I think receiver, I think defensive line, and I think we continue to hear such good things about the defense in the red zone and otherwise. I'm very excited about the defense as a whole and about the wide receiver position.
You're talking about the wide receivers and the guys that are lining up on the opposite side of the football. I mean, videos of Rayon Strader and Kayan Lee and all of those guys making really, really good plays. We heard Jackson Arnold talk about iron sharpening iron and how you're playing against the best and they're going up against the best. How much are these receivers helping these DBs and vice versa getting ready for this SEC gauntlet?
Yeah, it's strength on strength, and you know, we've seen videos from practice today that have been out there from the wonderful team of beat writers, reporters for Auburn. That, you know, Cam Coleman's making ridiculous catches, and you know, and then defensive backs are keeping him from making ridiculous catches. And it is iron sharpens iron. That's a cliche because it's true. It's these DBs came in, and oh, by the way, Auburn's starting back in Kayan Lee and Jalen Crawford, I think PFF rated them the number one returning duo of corners either in the league or in the country. If you're among the best in the league, you're among the best in the country. So it's not like these guys, boy, you know, they really clearly needed it, but they're going to keep pushing and make each other better. So the receivers are only going to get better because they're going against all conference caliber cornerbacks. And Auburn went out and improved its depth there and bringing in Pleasant and Strader, and they got some strong freshmen that are in the grouping as well. And the receivers are going to be better because they're going against that group. So, yeah, it's just one of those no-lose situations that they're going to push each other each day at practice.
And something that we've had the chance to talk about the past several days, and something that I personally will never stop talking about, is the love that Hugh Freeze gave to Omar Mapson over the weekend. And we've continued to see him progress and get some of those reps because of some of the minor banged up injuries in that running back room. But my goodness, Brad, what a luxury it is now to maybe not have the solidified 100% number one running back yet, but there are five or six guys in there that could take reps and you'd feel comfortable with.
Yeah, it's real interesting, and Zach Blackerby and I did a Village Vice on this a couple days ago. Who leads Auburn in rushing yards in game one of the season at Baylor? I think you could have five different answers to that, because it could be Jackson Arnold, could be Damari Alston, could be Eric Singleton, or another receiver if you break one long run and carries get balanced among the other guys. There's not going to be a guy, I don't know. We'll see. I don't think there's going to be Quez who gets 85% of running back carries this year. I like Darrell Robinson and what we've seen from him so far in practice. But, you know, he was still dealing with a turf toe at the beginning of fall camp. You know, Damari's been in the yellow jersey. Jeremiah's been in the yellow jersey. Omar, to his credit, has stepped up and he's taken the opportunities afforded him there. The other option is that he hasn't done that, so it's good that he has. There are a lot of things that Auburn's going to be able to do in the running game this year, from keeping guys fresh to using the receivers to using Jackson Arnold as a different kind of runner than Peyton Thorne was in this RPO system. So one of the big storylines for this year is how is the running game implemented? Probably not going to have, you know, I'd be surprised if you have a 1,200-yard rushing running back. But I think this running game can be plenty lethal with a mix of guys.
We're talking with Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. And before we flip over to the hardwood, you make the trip out to Waco, Auburn, in 22 days. We'll be kicking things off. Have you had a chance yet to look around at the restaurants? Do y'all have a plan of where you're going yet?
You know, I don't. Here's what I'm banking on. So, apparently, Ronnie Brown, Auburn legend, NFL veteran, 10-year pro, just, you know, one of the greats, is going to be on Family Feud tonight on ABC.
Okay.
Didn't know this until earlier today. So our whole thought is that Ronnie, he's already a celebrity, but after his national TV appearance tonight, he'll be even more of a celebrity. And so we figure Ronnie will just get in touch with Chip and Joanna, and the Gaines will treat us, you know, maybe at their estate, and that's what we'll do the night before.
Or no, if he just wins money, then dinner's just on him.
Well, that's a good point too. That's a great point. Win fast money, and then he could just cover the entire bill. I think he could probably do it anyway. But certainly, if he wins fast money, then that should be the plan. I have not looked at it yet. I know I'm looking forward to the trip and exploring Waco a little bit for the first time, but no, I've not done my research on that to this point.
Wow, I mean, just stick Jacob Hillman on that. I'm sure he'll find something good for you guys.
Well, at the end of the day, it's Andy's call. Like, Andy Burcham will make this call, and we may all have our input, but Andy's going to make the call at the end of the day, and I don't think he's ever led us astray.
Understandable. Well, hey, let's talk a little basketball. As there was some news that has dropped yesterday across the SEC. We now know all of the SEC opponents. We've known the opponents, but now we know who Bruce Pearl and the Tigers will play, when they'll play, and where they will play. There's a bunch of good games on this schedule, Brad. The Saturday slate is absolutely loaded for the Tigers in this 2025 and 2026 season. Is there a stretch or some games on this that you'd like to highlight that you think could be the most important by the time the Tigers get there?
You know, I only see two back-to-back road game stretches on the schedule, and I see three back-to-back home games. That means they start and end the year. So Ole Miss, Florida, back-to-back road games at Arkansas and Mississippi State. Let's kind of start with the general disclaimer that every game in the league is just an out-and-out war.
Sure.
And if you are not on your, you know, if you're not at the top of your game, any team can beat you on their home floor. So with that said, Ole Miss and Florida back-to-back, I feel like one of those is much more heavily weighted than the other. Arkansas, Mississippi State, I feel like one of those is much more heavily weighted than the other. So you don't have the two behemoth games back-to-back on the road at any point in the schedule. I think starting with Georgia on the road and A&M at home and Arkansas at home and Missouri on the road and South Carolina, like I think that's a pretty manageable way to start conference play when you're not yet rounded into the team you're ultimately going to become. Remember, there were so many veterans on last year's team that you could argue that they were at their strongest the first 3 weeks or so of conference play, because those guys had played so long together. This year's team is almost entirely new, and because Tahad's the only returner, nobody has played with each other on this team. So that first couple of weeks of conference play, they're still trying to find the chemistry and still trying to iron everything out. And so I think it's a positive first run through the first third of the schedule for this team. I was excited when I saw it come out.
Well, I think the highlight is some of those home games. I mean, Arkansas at home, Texas makes the return trip. You've got Alabama, Kentucky is going to be playing inside of Neville Arena. I mean, some huge, huge games. But you also highlighted the fact that you start and end the NCC schedule on the road, and not just on the road, Brad, against two big rivals with Georgia on January 3rd and Alabama on March 7th.
Yeah, that look, and Auburn's had great success under Coach Pearl in Athens. That's a way that'll grab everybody's attention to start conference play. It's you know, you're fresh into the new calendar year, and there's no ramping up. You're playing your rival, one of your rivals, on that. Of course, with Auburn basketball now has like half a dozen rivals in conference play because the league is so much better than it's ever been. So start a game at a rival, end a game at a rival, where, again, Auburn's had success under Coach Pearl. They'll try to make it 2 years in a row. They win in Tuscaloosa, and who knows what will be on the line. You know, has Auburn already clinched an SEC championship? Are they playing for a double bye? Is Alabama playing for a, you know, a day one bye or something like that? We'll see. But I love it. This team has relished playing on the road under Coach Pearl, and I wouldn't expect that to be different this coming season.
He is Brad Law with the Auburn Sports Network, and he joins us every Thursday at 2:30 right here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Tell the folks what's going on. I know as we get closer, Tiger Talk is right around the corner, and then you guys will be traveling out to Waco. So tell the people what they need to know and where they need to go to find it.
Less than 2 weeks away from the first Tiger Talk of the year, August 18th is when we are back on the air. August 25th is when we're back out at Baumhauer's Victory Grill, and the show will be every Monday throughout the season from August 18th on. So starting on the 25th, make your plans to be with us out at Baumhauer's Victory Grill on Monday nights for a Tiger Talk with Coach Freeze and others. And then, yeah, Friday night football to start the regular season. Lots more conversation about that as we get closer to it. But as always, we've got broadcast coverage 3 hours before kickoff on the Auburn Sports Network.
And that's here locally on Wings 94.3, so make sure you check that out in the next couple of weeks once we get to the start of the season. Brad, we appreciate you, my friend. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Always a pleasure, guys. War Eagle.
That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us every single Thursday, 2:30, right here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take a break, come back, and awesome, some more updates from Auburn basketball. We got player numbers today. Get to dive into those a little bit, have some fun there before we get into hour number two. And, hey, phone lines are now back open if you'd like to be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. We take a break, come back, and wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining us, as he does every single week. So we appreciate that, and giving his thoughts and insights on Auburn football throughout practice so far. Also, the SEC basketball schedule. And speaking of Auburn basketball, something that excites some and maybe doesn't matter to others, but us being the nerds that we are, we like this kind of stuff. Auburn tweeted out, Auburn basketball, that is, tweeted out the updated team numbers, the player numbers that the guys are going to be wearing on the floor this year. And just to run through these quickly, Tahad still wearing number zero. I love it. I mean, zero is his. It gives off the Russell Westbrook F you mentality type of thing, where it's just like, I'm better than you type of thing.
Well, how many people could guard him? That's the answer.
Yeah, how many people could stop him? And yeah, I love it. Absolutely.
That was the Damian Lillard thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
How many people could guard him?
Damn
zero.
Time, man. Nope. One of the most clutch performers in the history of the NBA.
And he's back.
He is back in Portland. How freaking cool is that? Now he gets to play in Portland and then hopefully retire and get his. Should he have his number retired there? I think so. It's a dicey topic because he didn't really win all that much there. He won some playoff series.
It was really
series.
Only him, though. And then CJ McCollum, you feel like, at times.
Yeah. But who was there? They had a couple of bigs that played for them, or like some big fours. Who played for them back in the day? Because they won a couple of playoff series, the big one being the crazy step-back shot that he hit from the right side for them to win the series. I think that was Mike Tirico on the call for that. One of the greatest calls in NBA playoff history. Oh, LaMarcus Aldridge. That's who it was. That played for the Trailblazers back in the day. Right?
I'm still trying to, I mean.
Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge played for them.
Oh, he did, yes. But, sorry, yeah. What year was.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I'm digging in my brain. The playoff would have been 2011? 2012? Was that over the Rockets? Was that over James Harden and the Rockets? That could have been like 2013 or 2014.
I'm looking at – no, if you're talking about the step back that he had, because then Derrick Rose did it back to him. Are we talking about the same?
No, we're talking – hold on. We're talking about –
that was LeBron and Derrick Rose.
Yes, you're talking about the Cavs and the Bulls and that series where – LeBron, no, it was D. Rose that hit the game winner in game one, the bank shot to win.
Yeah, and LeBron went back and did it. It was either the night after or back in Cleveland, and they LeBron did the same exact celebration in return.
Yeah, pretty much. Hold on. Damian Lillard, game.
I'm looking at right now.
It was OKC over Paul George. That's the one I'm talking about.
The one that Paul George came back. It was a terrible shot.
Yeah, that was 2019. Shot. My bad. 2019, where he hit the incredible shot. Oh, yeah, he was saying, what, even a good shot? It's like, dude, shut up, Paul George. Like, talk about a loser.
It wasn't.
It was at the buzzer. It was a great shot, and he buried it. If anybody could take that shot, it's Damian Lillard.
Yes.
Anyway, should he have his number retired in Portland? To get off on a completely wrong subject here.
Sure.
Why not? Sure. Anyway,
I'm looking at this 2018-2019 team. They went 53-29. Wade Ball. They had Zach Collins, Seth Curry on the team, Rodney Hood. They had Myles Leonard.
I like Rodney Hood.
I do as well. The lefty.
Yeah.
The lefty.
It wasn't bad.
From Mississippi State and Duke, I believe. Well, that was where he was known, but Mississippi State as well. CJ McCollum. You had Nurkic on the team. Anthony Simons. But like the fact that
53-29.
Won 53 games.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah, I'll give you
that.
There
you go.
That's
give it
impressive.
To him.
There you go. Okay, Tahan Pettiford's wearing number zero for Auburn. Kevin Overton is wearing number one. Abdul Bashir wearing number two. Keyshawn Murphy will wear three. Cade Magwood wearing number five. That feels right. Elijah Freeman wearing six. Keyshawn Hall will wear number seven. Simon Walker will wear 10. Joa Shea will wear number 12. CJ Williams will have 13. Emeka Opurim will wear 14 for the Tigers. Drake Cardwell will wear 17. Jeremiah Bowman will wear number 20. Blake will wear 21. Reed Trapp will wear 22. Bradley Pearson, 24. Sebastian Williams Adams, 33. And Filip Jovic will wear number 38, which is so appropriate for a European kid.
Very much so. But Drake Cardwell and Filip Jovic, you're breaking the basketball rule that we remembered and we got reminded of by it was either a texter or a caller not too long ago about everything ending in a five.
Yeah.
Because if Drake gets fouled,
they got to go
hold
one
and then
and
seven.
Then the seven. Yeah.
Same thing with Filip Jovic. Three and then eight.
You're just going to go and put his hand on – the ref's just going to put his hand on his shoulder and be like, that guy.
The tall one.
Yeah, the tall shooter. That one. Yeah, so there you go. Auburn released their new numbers and things, and looking forward to basketball season, which will be here before you know it. All right, hour number one is in the books. Stick around. We got a whole lot more coming up in hour number two. The most bet teams in college football to overperform and underperform. We talk about that to start hour number two. And Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast joins us all coming up in the next 60 minutes.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us. Your man, my man, somebody's man, I don't know. He's here. He's in the studio, and we appreciate him being here. Appreciate you being here as well as we get started here in hour number two. If you missed any of the first hour, we had a lot of fun today talking about Auburn football practice from today. A lot of cool highlights coming out of there, and really just the receivers and the secondary going back and forth pretty much every day right now in practice. And so a lot of cool things there. Also talked about the coaches poll, the preseason top 25, kind of talked about some teams that might pan out, might not pan out, things like that. And then we talked to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network about all those things and more. So if you missed any of the first hour, you know where to find it. Go to our station website, look it up on the podcast center at ESPNAU.com.
Here in the second hour of our show at 3:30, we're going to talk with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, as more fall news continues to drop around the SEC. We're going to get his thoughts on that. Also on the SEC basketball schedules, man, is there a quote-unquote easier part of anybody's schedule as you sit there and look at all 16 teams? Also going to talk a little bit of Auburn baseball as they continue to make headlines with the new transfer edition, some new updates along the summer ball side of things as well. But we're going to start it off here in hour number two talking about the most bet on teams in college football. And it's a graphic that BetMGM posted about the win totals and how there's three teams that are the most bet on to go over and the three most bet on teams to go under their projected win totals. And then we have a Yahoo Sports article as well talking about some of the favorite bets for this upcoming season. And if you're having a good day, just get ready for the Yahoo Sports article, because things might get thrown on its head. And man, you just really hope that
you really hope they're wrong.
Really hope that they are wrong about everything. All of that here in hour number two.
He is
Jacob Goins, and I'm apparently Jacob's man, Christian Griffin. And appreciate everybody for being here with us. I'm just referring to what was said. But if you've been here with us, for all 2 hours or going into hour number two, we appreciate it. Or if you're just now picking up with us, you'd probably turn it off if that was the case.
Yeah,
but
they're not here anymore.
Appreciate everybody for being here with us on ESPN 106.7.
Let's start with the BetMGM graphic on teams who have been most bet on in college football, whether that is most bet on the over of their win total or the under of their win total. We'll start with it's the top three on each one. The top three teams who have been bet their over and the top three teams who have been bet on their under. Let's start with the over, and then we'll move to the under.
Sure. We can start just with the team in general.
Yeah, if you want to.
Because Colorado is the most bet on team, according to BetMGM this year, for overs and for unders.
And for unders.
Which is something you don't hear a lot about, which goes to show you, man, Vegas is sitting there. Yes, we had it
perfectly
nailed.
Vegas has made a fortune on Colorado. Their win total's 5.5, okay? But more people in the United States have bet on Colorado than any other team out there to go over and under, which is incredible to think. And here's what their schedule is. In case you forgot, Auburn and Baylor is not the only game happening on Friday, August 29th. There's another game happening at the exact same time.
Boo.
And I hate that, because this game, I think, could be really entertaining. It could be really, really good. Colorado is going to host Georgia Tech on Friday, August 29th at 7 p.m. on ESPN at the exact same time that Auburn is playing Baylor. So throw that one on a different TV or radio broadcast or something. Keep up with that one, because it's going to be a lot of fun. They open up with Georgia Tech. Then they play Delaware. They have to go on the road to Houston. And I don't know how to feel about that Houston team just yet, so I don't know if that's considered a tough road trip or not for them. They do have to host Wyoming, host BYU, at TCU, home for Iowa State, tough trip to Utah, home against Arizona, at West Virginia, home against Arizona State, and then they end the season at Kansas State. 5.5 is the win total for Colorado, and Americans are saying, yep, slam the over. They're getting six or more wins, but the other half of Americans are saying, ain't no way that they get to a bowl game.
And a reminder about this Colorado quarterback battle, it's Caden Salter from Liberty, the guy that Auburn was looking at. If you remember one thing about him, where's the crazy helmet? One that looks like it is not even on his head because the face mask is so low and the visor, if you've watched Liberty or you watch, that's what stands out to you as soon as you see it. And the other one is Julian Lewis, Juju Lewis, who was the USC commit. Auburn was heavily in that conversation before signing with Deion Sanders in Colorado. And so you expect Caden Salter to take that job at least initially, but there's still going to be a quarterback battle, and you don't feel like there's a shy away of talent on that side of things either. But you look at that, Colorado at 5.5, both on the overs, both on the unders. Half of the people love it. Half of the people say, ain't no way. We move over into the overs. You said start with the overs, right? That's where you...
It doesn't matter. I mean, I look at this schedule for Colorado. I don't see any, other than Delaware and Wyoming, I don't see any other gimme wins on their schedule until I see what Colorado is and kind of what their talent looks like after losing a Heisman Trophy winner. I don't know, man. I don't have a read on Colorado talent-wise or... skill set wise, or heck, even coaching wise, which I think, you know, all reports are saying that Deion is going to be coaching this team again this year, which is good to hear, and we're glad to hear that. But I mean, Georgia Tech ain't no gimme. Georgia Tech is going to be favored in that game. At Houston, I don't know. BYU, you're probably not favored. At TCU, TCU's not a bad team this year. People predicting them to make it to the Big 12 championship game, and that one's on the road. Iowa State, that's a solid team. You're not going to be favored at Utah. You'll probably be favored against Arizona. At West Virginia, we know how crazy that place gets. Home against Arizona State, you're probably not favored. And then at Kansas State, who knows what that place looks like in Manhattan.
You mentioned Georgia Tech going to Boulder, Colorado. They opened up as 3.5-point favorites. Did the Yellow Jackets? It's bumped up to 4 just about everywhere you look.
So, I believe it, yeah.
Weirdly enough, all of those sports books look relatively the exact same. We were talking about it on Tuesday, and I don't know if you've seen Auburn and Baylor keep going back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
There's certain sites that have Auburn still as a 1-point favorite. They have some that Baylor is now a 2.5-point favorite.
Wow.
And so the fact that you can buy almost 3 or 4 points based off of the sports book that you're looking at is crazy, because most of them look like this, where it's 3.5 or 4 at the absolute worst. We work our way down to the second most bet on team for the team to go over their projected win total. And it's one that both of us have major concerns about, especially if there was any sort of legitimacy, not towards the extent of how far the troll counts made it, but Garrett Nussmeier, did he get banged up at all? Because LSU is the second most bet on team to go over their 8.5 win total.
Which makes sense, because they are being picked by a lot of people to win the SEC, make the college football playoff, even be not even a dark horse to win the national title. I mean, LSU fans are saying it better happen right now because of what Brian Kelly has not done at LSU, and the fact that Garrett Nussmeier comes back Garrett Nussmeier's coming back, and all the talent that they have on the offensive side of the football. But man, I look at their schedule, and again, their win total's 8.5, and they're the second most popular bet to go over that win total. I see 6 games that I'm willing to give them right now. I'll give them Louisiana Tech, Southeast Louisiana. I'll give them on the road at Vanderbilt. I'll give them the home game against Texas A&M, and I'll give them their 2 home games against Arkansas and Western Kentucky. I know that Texas A&M's a tough one, but being at Baton Rouge, I'll give it to them, okay? The other games, coin tosses to me right now. Opening up at Clemson, I'm sorry, LSU's not winning that game. They're just not. They're not going to win that game. I'll stake my flag on it right now. And I'm picking that based off of lack of confidence in LSU versus boating confidence in Clemson, if that makes sense.
That paired with the team at home.
Correct.
Being the one you have weirdly more confidence in.
Right. I mean, convenient, right? Yeah, that's how that works. Florida, week 3 of the year. Not sure yet. Florida could have a bunch of confidence and be feeling good about themselves. And as long as DJ Lagway is healthy, the Gators are going to have a chance in every game they play. On the road at Ole Miss, I don't feel good about you going on that on the road for that game if you're LSU. Hosting South Carolina, we've talked at nauseam about how big that game could be on October 11th. On the road at Alabama, could be tough on November 8th. Then you end the season at Oklahoma. I see six gimme wins right now for LSU. You're telling me you got to go and win three more of those games that I just talked about to go over your win total?
Well, that's what I was even going to say, is if you guarantee them five, you take away the Texas A&M game that you mentioned. You have to go, what, 4-3 in those to hit your win total?
Yeah. I'm sorry. That's a lot to ask for Brian Kelly and LSU. I'm not in on them. So the
how much of that will come down to LSU being 8-3 going into Norman?
Man, very well could be. Very well could be.
I'm sure that's how it's the sports book somewhat designed it, but if there's anybody that does a lot of the win totals, because, again, neither of us are, actually not jokingly, neither of us do that side of things. Mm-hmm. And how often does that play out?
Oh, I'm sure it's Vegas. I'm sure it happens quite a bit. They kind of know what they're doing out there. The buildings are quite nice. I mean, I've never been, but I've seen them. They're pretty nice out there. That would be so fascinating, too, depending on what Oklahoma looks like going into the final game of the year, too. My goodness, that could be a crazy game. So, again, LSU, according to BetMGM, the second most popular bet to go over their win total of 8.5. We move to the other side. And the second most popular team to go under their win total is a team that won the national title just 2 years ago. The ones that have helped the Big Ten say we've won back-to-back. It's Michigan at 8.5.
And funny enough, that was the team that I talked about to begin the show today as a team that, man, I don't think it's necessarily because of a lack of talent, because I think that Sharon Moore is a good coach, and I think Bryce Underwood, if he gets to start, can and will be really good, but it just feels like there's so many questions on this team. And then again, you go and look at that schedule of, man, 9 wins for Michigan right now. That's with Oklahoma, Nebraska, USC, Washington, Ohio State. Even just those, that's 5. You have to go 3-2 in those games, not counting Wisconsin, Michigan State, Purdue, Northwestern, and Maryland. Man, 8.5 just feels really, really high.
And you think about Michigan as a super talented team, and they are, but do you want to know where they rank in the blue chip ratio rankings? They're 14th in the country with 57%, which isn't all that bad. Do you remember where Auburn is? They're above them at 13th in the country at 64%, tied with Florida.
Thankfully, they're just playing teams like Purdue that are 2%.
Yeah, you play Purdue and Northwestern and Rutgers and Maryland and all them jokers in there. I mean, it's just...
But that 9-game schedule, that 9-game conference
schedule,
though.
That extra game,
That
extra game against, Rutgers is... That's the difference right there, ladies and gentlemen. So, look, I don't think it's a bad bet at all to go Michigan under 8.5 wins. I really don't. They're the second most popular bet to go under their win total in 2025 of 8.5. The third most popular bet, over and under, I can't believe. I mean, yes, I get it because of the logo. You're just asking for a whole lot of wins right here. Ohio State is the third most popular bet to go over their win total at 10.5, meaning they can lose one game.
And yeah, for us there, for those that are listening along, this is not including postseason play. These win totals are based off of
regular season
only. And so there, half the country is expecting Colorado to win 6 games. LSU, according to BetMGM, is very popular to go over 8.5 to win 9 games. And then Ohio State is the third most popular team to go over 10.5 wins, man. Texas, Washington, Illinois, Penn State, Michigan. Those are the games that I look at right there.
And you can only
lose
one of those.
You can only afford one loss in those.
That's a tall task, man.
Imagine all of the bettors that bet over 10.5, and it's August 30th at 3:30, and Texas walks in and has already beaten Ohio State, and you're sitting there going, oh, no.
Well, that's the thing is, like, man, you look at this, and just from a entertainment standpoint, why not bet the under and just hope that it happens rather than, yeah, having to say, man, they can only lose one game and my, you know, whatever, however
and
much.
Yeah, and it happens, that's what I'm saying. It happens week one, and you're sitting there going, holy cow.
They have to win out.
Yeah.
They have to win out for you to win. That's crazy right there. That's what I'm saying. I can't believe that's the third most popular. And reminder, Ohio State is one of three teams in the Big Ten to have a 10.5 win total. Think about that. Penn State and Oregon are matching with Ohio State as 10.5 win total in the Big Ten. There's not a single SEC team that falls into that category. The final team before we get to break is the third most popular team bet on to go under their win total. And talk about a team that could do literally anything this year. It's Bill Belichick's North Carolina Tar Heels. At 7.5, they're the third most popular bet to go under their 7.5 win total. They open up with a cross-conference game with TCU. How awesome is that game going to be on Monday night, by the way? Monday, September 1st. Believe that is Labor Day, which we will be on the air for, so just keep that in mind. So North Carolina TCU Monday night in Chapel Hill. At Charlotte, yes, that is correct. They're not playing that game at home. They're going to Charlotte for whatever reason. Richmond at home. At UCF, which that one's also weird. Why are they playing two Big 12 games? That's
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
TCU and UCF. They've got two. This is the first time I've looked at this schedule.
Every part of me wanted to think that UCF was in the ACC right there just because of them playing them week four, but
why
no.
Why in the world would you do that? Anyway, then you host Clemson, go all the way across the country to California, come back and play Virginia, on the road at Syracuse, home for Stanford, at Wake Forest, home for Duke, and at NC State. Why do you think people are betting North Carolina to go under 7.5? Is it the schedule? Is it the drama? Is it the talent? Is it lack of confidence in Bill Belichick to be a college coach? What do you think here?
The first thought is just the fact of, yeah, realizing how different college football is than the NFL. And realizing that, never mind, I can't make that joke.
Hey-o.
Can't go there.
Go ahead and keep that one. Yeah. Keep that one to yourself.
I mean, again, that's eight wins that you're looking at rather than seven. Obviously, that's how that works.
They only have to make one long road trip to California.
To Cal, yeah.
All their other ones are Charlotte, Central
I guess Syracuse
Florida.
Is halfway the other one. But
yeah, but that's not terrible. Then Wake Forest and NC State. You don't even leave. You don't leave the state.
Wake Forest, Duke, yeah, and NC State. Those are your last.
They don't leave the state of North Carolina in the month of November.
That's awesome.
I don't know, man. Maybe. If it was 8.5, I would get it. 7.5
is
kind of disrespectful.
What is their – hold on.
Are you looking at their blue chip?
No, I'm going to look at – if you want to pull that up.
I can try. We need to get the break.
Yeah. Looking at their
– yeah, what's – why pay the bills? We don't need to do that.
Hold on. We'll get there. North Carolina is – plus 140 to go over 7.5.
I don't hate it.
I was trying to find the exact. One sportsbook has them as plus 140. One only has them as plus 110. So that shows them, and you're right there, kind of on the
cusp. If they can beat TCU off the rip, they're off to a great start. I think they're a better team than UCF.
I think you're. I mean, even if you throw that on there, you're 3-2 after Clemson, Cal.
That's
you should beat Cal.
You're a better team, but man, you got. That's a Friday night game, too. Ain't no way that they're going to find a way to drop that one for no particular reason other than a Friday night cross-country 9:30 against Cal. That's disgusting. But you should beat Virginia. You should beat Stanford. You should beat Wake, probably. Syracuse.
Don't hit on Robbie Ashford like that.
Shut up. I think Syracuse is decent, and that is on the road. Duke is going to be a really fun game. That's a good team. And then at NC State. You know what? For absolutely no reason. Give me North Carolina to go over.
Flip the two of them.
Yeah.
Ohio State's going under.
Yeah.
North Carolina's going over.
There you go. Plant the flag. Raise the
alarms. No, we don't flag plants anymore.
I do. especially since we're talking about Ohio State. We absolutely plant the flag against Ohio State. Okay, we've gone way past a break for the third time today. We'll take a break, come back, talk for just a few moments about Auburn baseball before we get to Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. That's coming up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we got a few more minutes before we have to take another break before we get to Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. We'll talk to him about just the latest storylines around fall practices in the Southeastern Conference. Also, get his thoughts on some of the SEC basketball schedules that released and get his full thoughts on the Auburn schedule as well. But something we wanted to at least hit on here quickly and more so tomorrow for Free For All Friday. Auburn baseball has just hit the portal and hit it hard, man, and they have really reloaded this roster, in particular, Christian, on this pitching staff where you lose so many guys, whether it was transfers or a lot of them graduating or going pro. And the latest one is the second transfer from Virginia Tech in Marcel Kulik, who has committed to play for the Tigers and now the fifth pitcher to join the Tigers in this transfer portal cycle.
Yeah, you had a lot of the Auburn Tigers make their way in the draft in the 8th, 9th, and 10th, and you had a couple guys in the later rounds as well that went ahead and signed, and I think that surprised Auburn a little bit. And so although they had done fantastic work already, I mean, during the Super Regional, you were already hearing a bunch of these kids make their commitments to the Auburn Tigers, mm-hmm. and now you're hearing even more of them, with Kulik being the most recent, the second transfer from NC State. And now you look at the total team rankings, or Virginia Tech, right? Not NC State, I apologize. Kulik and Marciano.
Virginia Tech.
Yep. Not NC State. Yep. But Auburn now sixth in team rankings, with a transfer in ranking of 74.45, and that's not incomparable to football, where, you know, you get stars based off of that. That's really, really good. Mm-hmm. Even Texas Tech, who is the first overall team right now in the transfer portal rankings, their average rating coming in is 82. And so when you're looking at that, absolutely incredible. It's Texas Tech at 1, LSU at 2, Ole Miss at 3, Oregon 4, Miami 5, Auburn right there at 6th. And that's why you hear so many of these big-time or big college baseball writers talking about, man, this team last year, you may have thought of them as overperforming just a little bit, and we had conversations on that as well. Next year, you fully expect them to not only be one of the best teams in the SEC, you fully expect for them to compete for a whole lot in the postseason.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk more in detail about that idea tomorrow, because for so long, especially when Butch Thompson took over, and the fact that this team has been to Omaha twice under his reign, it was, all right, that's cool. That's awesome. Good for you guys down there in Auburn to get back into relevancy for baseball. But that narrative, that cloud, that thing is gone. Auburn is expected to do big things now on the baseball field, and excited to see that, excited to talk about that on the show tomorrow a little bit more. But when we come back, Chris Gordy, sure he's got something to say today. Let's start taking bets. What's he got to say? What's on his mind today? The host of the Locked On SEC podcast. We'll talk to him about the biggest storylines around fall practice and the SEC basketball schedules being released. He joins us coming up after this.
Halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, as we are excited to welcome in this guy. He joins us every Thursday at 3:30 on the phone lines, our man Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. And man, we were texting throughout the week, and it was me more texting you to talk a little bit of trash, since Red Sox had to bust out the brooms on your Astros, my man. I'm sorry we had to do that to you.
I did not know Astros was the word.
I mean, well, the good news is they're doing that to everybody right now.
True.
You know, it's there's no harm, no foul. But as I told Red Sox fans leaving the ballpark over the weekend, hey, we're still in first place and locked into a playoff spot. The Red Sox are the ones still chasing a playoff spot right now, so we'll see.
Okay. Well, look, any win right now is fine for the Red Sox, and they paid Roman Anthony, so I can't be upset at anything that's happening in Boston, and I don't get opportunities to talk bad to you all that often, so I had to take my opportunity where I can get it.
Well, I know in your listening area, there's certainly a lot of Braves fans, and the way the Braves have played this year, they
no,
might want to hop
stop.
On that Red Sox
Chris,
wagon.
No.
Yeah, Christian would love to talk to you about
no.
the Atlanta Braves right now if you're interested.
I don't have anything. Yeah. I don't have anything to say.
It's bad.
Well, man, as much as we would love to talk baseball with you, we do want to talk about things happening around the Southeastern Conference. And what is happening is fall practices and fall camps are all underway, all at least a week in now on this Thursday. And so since the last time we've talked to you and everybody's really gotten into fall camp and fall practice, what are you hearing? What are you seeing? Kind of what has stuck out to you across the 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference?
Yeah, I mean, the big word is health. You know, this is that time of year where you start ramping up the practices. They can get pretty physical, and the key is just kind of helping, you know, making sure you're doing what you need to do to get ready for the season, but also staying healthy. I mean, Florida has had the brunt of it so far, mostly to their receiving cores or their receivers so far. And it's a little disappointing because Dallas Wilson, the five-star receiver that came into Florida that, you know, I was very excited to see what he's going to do. He's out for a couple of weeks sidelined with an injury. And so he's going to miss the start of the season. You know, we'll see when he gets back. And several of the other receivers, Trey Wilson and Aiden Mizell have been banged up. So, you know, the good news, at least on their front, is from what I heard as of yesterday, is DJ Lagway looks to be, you know, close to 100% right now. That the calf injury has not slowed him down, and, you know, the shoulder injury, he's playing through that. So that's the good news. But, I mean, if he goes into the first couple of weeks with J. Michael Sturdivant and that's kind of it, that's a little scary for Florida, considering week three they are at LSU. I mean, they're going to hope to be, you know, fully healthy, you would hope by then. So that, you know, there was a scare yesterday at LSU camp. Garrett Nussmeier apparently came up, a little gimpy, and, you know, it's funny, internet rumors start. Somebody
yeah,
I was going to ask if you fell for that, Chris.
Yeah, it's look, I always say it's with anything. Trust the source, right? If you see somebody tweeting something on Twitter and it shows up on your feed and you've never heard of them and they have 500 Twitter followers, I might take that one with a grain of salt, you know, wait till somebody I actually trust and know that covers the team puts something out. So, you know, and it's tough because, you know, days like yesterday, it was LSU practice was closed to the media. They do allow some of those top booster people in. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it's something that none of the media folks had that one of the top booster people had. But, again, this thing very quickly goes from he walked off the field on his own power and missed the rest of practice to, oh my God, he was carted off and they think he's done for the year. You know what I mean? Like, that's how extremes go to extremes. So I just say, like, trust the people that are at practice and cover the team on a daily basis before you run with some random Twitter account you've never heard of. So, so there's that. But it sounds like all is good, at least on the LSU front. You know, they're going to put Nussmeier in bubble wrap here these next couple weeks until their opener at Clemson. So, kind of just monitoring day to day on what's been going on at all the different practices. The people I've talked to that have been at Auburn's practice have said they liked what they've seen from the offense. I like Q coming out yesterday and saying, you know, he didn't like what he saw from practice. You know, that it's quite the opposite because everybody else you're hearing, oh, this guy looks great. Everybody looks great. Everything looks great. I kind of like Q coming out and saying, I didn't like our attitude. I didn't like our energy today. So, you know, it's just the grind of camp, but, you know, it sounds like even Auburn's starting to get a little bit healthy. I heard Jeremiah Cobb was back yesterday in a non-contact jersey, or without the non-contact jersey, so, and I've heard good things about their secondary so far. So, yeah, man, this is just that grind of the next 3 weeks is just try to keep everybody healthy and get ready for that season opener.
Well, it seems like, or it may seem like I'm throwing you that alley-oop to talk highly about the Auburn Tigers, but it was just going to simply be, is there a team through fall camp right now that it maybe have flown under the radar just a little bit that you're continuing to build more and more confidence in as you work your way towards the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think Auburn is in that category. You know, when you start to see a lot of these preseason lists come out and, you know, the Biletnikoff, you've got Eric Singleton and Cam Coleman there, and then I start seeing the clips of Cam Coleman making these ridiculous catches in you know, extreme coverage, and he's still coming down with the catch. I mean, you just have to wonder, like, you know, does he look at Jackson Arnold and go, bro, just get it in his vicinity. If you get it in his vicinity, he's going to come down with it. I'm still a little bit, you know, not worried, but like questioning. I want to see some consistency out of that run game for Auburn. And that's why I said getting Cobb back will be interesting with him and Alston. And, you know, I know, what is it, the Omar Mabson guy, everybody's been bragging about. Yeah. Hugh's been bragging about him. They're all saying good things about him, a true freshman. And then Darrell Robinson, who folks, you know, were expecting to be a contributor as well. I just want to see how that all shakes up when they go to Baylor. What is that, 3 weeks from tomorrow already?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think as excited as we want to get, if you're an Auburn fan, about the passing game and all these big-time wide receivers and all this, it's all for naught if they can't be balanced. You're going to have to be balanced. You're going to have to run the ball. If not, teams are going to be throwing, you know, 60 DBs out there on you and playing a lot of nickel coverage and daring you to run the football. So, man. But, I mean, you know, so I look around at all the different teams we've been covering. You know, I've heard some interesting things over in Arkansas, how much Taylen Green is in shape and, you know, that he's got so much more control of the offense this year. But I think Auburn's in that category of teams that we might be not giving enough love to right now.
We're talking with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast here on ESPN 106.7. And want to go to the other side of the state here for just a second. In the quarterback battle or drama or whatever word you want to throw in there for what Kalen DeBoer and the Crimson Tide are dealing with. I mean, I think all signs are pointing towards Ty Simpson being that man. But am I correct in saying that Keelan Russell has started to make some strides in that room?
I guess. I mean, they've been trying to sell that. To me, it was always going to be a hard sell that he was going to come in and, you know, and immediately push for the starting job. I think they're going to have packages for him. He's too athletic not to have some kind of plays built in for him. But, I mean, shoot, a week ago, somebody was telling me how great Austin Mack looked. And, you know, Austin Mack's pushing for the job. I think this is all just to, you know, make Ty Simpson really have to fully earn the job. I think we knew in March that Ty Simpson was going to be the starting quarterback. I think it's just, you know, they're just biding time here. They'll officially announce it before they head to Florida State week one. I think it'll be Ty Simpson, but don't get it wrong. They will have some plays. They'll have certain packages that Keelan Russell gets some looks in. Wouldn't be surprised in the red zone if he comes in, shows his running ability. But yeah, I'm not buying into the, you know, when I got somebody send me an article, Austin Mack still could earn the job. No, stop. It's Ty Simpson's job.
Is he good enough to get Alabama where they want to go, being the college football playoff, which seems to be the expectation for Bama fans in year two before they call for Kalen DeBoer's head?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, is he good enough? Sure. I mean, you know, I've been saying expectations for him to be kind of a game manager, you know, and I think the schedule's very interesting how it sets up. They get, you know, week one is a road trip, guys, that any other year, this would be a tough season opener, you know, on the road at Florida State. You know, Doak Walker, when that place is rocking, that's a tough environment to play in. But Florida State's coming off a 2-10 season, and they've got a lot of new pieces. I like what they've added in the transfer portal, but it's by no means do I think that they're going to be a team that, I don't know, put it this way, Alabama should win that game and win it handily. Then you come home for Louisiana Monroe. Then you get Wisconsin, which is a kind of a middle-tier Big Ten team in week three, before you go to Georgia in week four. I think that's a great test these first 3 weeks. Like, put it simply, like, if they had Long Island and the Citadel and Louisiana Monroe, and then they were going to Georgia, I would not like how that would set up for, you know, for Bama. But I think playing at Florida State, play Wisconsin, I think it's a little bit of a, you know, enough of a test for Ty Simpson to be battle-tested to feel good about going to Georgia. But I will tell you guys, the those four road trips at Georgia, at Missouri, at South Carolina, and at Auburn, those are tough. I mean, if they can go 2-2 in that stretch, great. But then you're asking them to, they absolutely have to win a home game against Vandy, a home game against Tennessee, a home game against LSU, and a home game against Oklahoma. That's just, that is a tough schedule for Alabama. That's why I think they're a little bit more maybe 9-3 than 10-2, but 10-2 is the bar this year for DeBoer. I think he's got to go 10-2 and make the playoff this year to buy Bama fans confidence in him. But a lot to me relies on Garrett Grubb. Or rather, Ryan Grubb as the OC, and is he the guy that is going to take them to the next level?
Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, with us here on ESPN 106.7. And I have to get your thoughts on the hardwood before we let you out of here, as all of the SEC conference games and the times, or the days rather, were released. And man, you just feel like the gauntlet continues. It's going to feel like a college football Saturday just about every single day from 2 weeks on all the way until late March, just because of how grueling that SEC conference will be in basketball.
Yeah, I love how the schedule sets up. I do appreciate, I know what, Auburn, you guys are on the road at Georgia right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice test right out of the gates. But I do like that they saved the Alabama games for later in the year. Well, you get the home game against Alabama the first week of February, and then last game of the season at Alabama. I think that that's, thank God they did it that way. I would have hated if the Alabama game was like.
And both on a Saturday, too.
Yeah, no, they knew what they were doing there. I yeah. like that. The biggest games, honestly, guys, should be played on the Saturdays. Nothing against the Tuesday, Wednesday games, but, you know, that's where Auburn should be playing LSU or, I don't know, Oklahoma or whatever. Save the weekend games should be the big-time matchup. So, you know, I love we get Kentucky, you know, right out of the gates at Alabama. That's going to be a fun one. You know, we get Kentucky or Florida at Kentucky later in the year. I just think that last weekend needs to matter with some big, big games, and it looks like they schedule it appropriately.
Well, no doubt about it. And look, there's no secret that the SEC could be just as good as it was last year or even better. I mean, bracketologists are still saying, I know it's August, but they're still saying, Chris, that 14 teams are going to get into the NCAA tournament, which is not expanding, by the way, Chris. I think you're on the hype train for that too, right?
Yeah, it's 68 is enough. I mean, I just think we're getting really stupid if we're starting to push for 70-plus teams or 80 teams into the tournament. It's just then the regular season absolutely doesn't matter if we're doing that. I mean, we're talking about teams that finish sub-500 in the conference making the playoffs. So, yeah, I'm all for keeping it where it is. But I understand the SEC, if they take a little bit of a step back this year and not as many good teams, and they only get, I don't know, let's say six teams into the tournament, there will be a lot of huffing and puffing from the SEC saying, oh, man, we need to expand this thing.
Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. You could check it out wherever you get your podcast. Tell them how else they can find it and what you have coming up over the next several days, my friend.
Yeah, we've had still some great interviews dropping from some of our interviews at SEC Media Days. We had, for any Bama fans in the house, we had some interview today with Bobby Humphrey, father of Marlon Humphrey, who, of course, both played at Alabama, talking about their new Alabama documentary film that's out called Nothing But a Winner. He said it's for all SEC fans, even though it is about the history of Bear Bryant and Nick Saban winning championships at Alabama, but that was a fun conversation, and really looking forward to 2 weeks from now. We're going to catch up with Scott Cochran, the former strength coach at Georgia and Alabama, and talk about some of his, you know, coaching days in the SEC. He's got a new book coming out. So we'll have those conversations on top of more practice reports and counting you down to the start of the college football season.
We appreciate you. As always, Chris, have a good rest of your week. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Go check it out on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. He covers the Southeastern Conference literally every day. So go check it out.
I just got reminded of some really cool news. Not, I guess, news, but it still doesn't feel true. When Auburn steps onto the hardwood, they're going to be able to wear Kobe's and LeBron's and
Kevin Durant.
The Durant's.
And the Paul George, he's Nike, right? Does he even still make shoes anymore in PG?
Know. Probably not.
I used to love his shoes, man.
Injury
I used to wear those things. I had several pairs of those.
They can wear Jordans.
They can, yeah.
Man. God,
they're going to be awesome. By the way, did I just miss the fact that Alabama opens up SEC play with Kentucky
yeah,
at awesome. Home in Tuscaloosa? I looked at the schedule before because I think the graphic sucks, but I mean,
I thought the same thing.
The graphic's terrible.
It's all in 11-point font, and the home games are bold.
They made the graphic, and then they just plugged in the teams in solid white lettering.
That's what I'm saying. And, then
and that's it.
It's 11-point font.
They just left it.
And then both the home games are bold, and you have to sit there and squint.
The
to
rest
see
of the graphic
ones.
Is sweet. Anyway. Yeah, I must have just missed the fact
are you talking about
they,
the one in the middle or the yes. one with them at the bottom?
Middle, bottom, third,
yes,
I guess.
Yes, okay.
That one.
Because there's this one as well. This is great radio. Great radio. Being yep. able to show everybody this. There's that, which is halfway better.
It's the same idea, though.
But yes.
Jeez. Anyway, yeah, I just completely missed the fact that they open up with Kentucky at home on January 3rd. That's incredible. That's one of the better SEC openers that I can remember. That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
I'm trying to think, look at their schedule as well to see if there's just any. I mean, you go to Auburn, then to Ole Miss, and A&M before that. Oh, okay. There's the stretch right there. January 31st to February 10th or 11th. Florida at Florida, home for Texas A&M at Auburn at Ole Miss.
Whoo!
Is that
man? That's
even before then. Even January 24th with hosting Tennessee and Missouri.
That's big.
And then the end of the season at Tennessee, at Georgia, and then Auburn.
January 24th. Remember, that's when Auburn goes to Gainesville.
Yeah,
man, that'd be awesome. What a cool game that would be to go to. Okay, probably more on that tomorrow. Honestly, on a Free for All Friday, really breaking down some of those SEC basketball schedules. Maybe highlighting like the top 5 days of SEC play or something like that. Right, write that down. Write that down. Somebody take a note. We got to talk about
that
tomorrow.
I'm going to make a big PowerPoint and just be able to see every single day.
Mm. Again, great radio when you think about it.
Our buddy Jack Hutton, get on it.
Yeah.
Get on it, send it to us, and we'll be able to talk about it.
Yeah, we know you ain't doing nothing else. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the Thursday edition of On the Line right here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got just a couple of minutes here as we will kind of recap today, preview tomorrow as well. We've talked a lot today, covered a lot of ground as well. Talked about teams in the coaches poll in the top 25, who could find themselves out of that, who could find themselves in that, or kind of where people will end up by the end of the season. Also talked about some notes from football practice today for Auburn. A lot of the highlights, a much better day today than yesterday, so that's a good sign. Also talked with two wonderful guests. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network was with us in the first hour, and most of you just heard our talk with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, the podcast that he does every single day, and so gave us a ton of updates, especially on the injury front across the Southeastern Conference. And so if you missed any of that, be sure to check it out on the podcast version of the show in our podcast center on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
And tomorrow is Free for All Friday. And, man, yeah. It is going to be a very, very fun one. We have a whole lot on the docket. Man, it feels like every day we come up with more and more stuff that we feel like is going to be perfect for Free for All Friday. It's going to be a little bit of baseball talk. We found out now that it's going to be a little bit of basketball talk as well, as we try and we might have already found a couple of the best days, but the best days of SEC basketball, whether that's January, February, or March, we're going to be talking about that, and obviously a whole lot of football conversations in there as well.
Yep, that's going to be right here tomorrow for Free for All Friday. All right, 2 to 4 right here on ESPN 106.7. We'll be back for that, so be sure that you tune in and join us. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.